Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. And I want to welcome you today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. It is a privilege to come this way each and every week at this same time. We do appreciate the opportunity, and we appreciate the vision of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church to carry forth the Word of God over the radio airwaves. We have several ministries that we would put under the classification of missions, and this would be one of them, a reaching out with the gospel. And we have a different radio broadcast, but we're here with the Blessings of Liberty today. And so thank you for listening in. Hope you're having a good day so far. And I want to take just a moment to invite you to the church. If you are in the area, the High Country near Boone, North Carolina, for those that are listening on our other radio stations, we'd love for you to come visit with us. Or if you are in the area and you do not have a regular church home, we are located 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road from the middle of Boone, North Carolina. I could probably be at Mount Lebanon in 5 or 8 minutes, depending on the traffic. So we're just outside of Boone, 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. We have a website, mountlebanonbc.org, that has church information, phone numbers, ministries, archive, radio broadcast, all those things. And so we'd invite you to go there as well. If you're interested, it's good to have Noah here today. He's my son and radio production manager, coordinator. I don't know. He does about as much or more than I do when it comes to the technical part. How are you today, Noah?
I'm good. It's good to be here this morning. And we do want to say welcome to all our listeners, those who are listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, North Carolina, those who's listening in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia, and also those who listen in on KBGT 89.1 FM, The Truth, out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners, and it is good to be here today. And as we've already said that, I sort of lost my train of thought there. Sometimes when you're in the radio studio, it's amazing, these noises and things going on. So
it's easy to zone out.
It is. And so you hear something going on in the background. So sometimes when you're listening to the radio and you say, "What was that? What did he say there?" Or something. You never know what's going on live radio, but that's one of the exciting things about it. If you are a regular listener, you know that we have been doing a series on the subject of heroes of liberty and looking at different people or groups of people and their contribution to the subject of liberty, whether that's nationally, spiritually, physically. We've used all kinds of examples. And I was thinking just today, I don't know how much longer we will look at this, but the possibilities are endless. I mean, you could just spend, you could have a whole radio broadcast and that be the subject year round, heroes of liberty and different stories of inspiration. I have sort of gotten interested lately in the time period of World War II, and that's where we're going to look at today, an example from that time period. World War II is not that far away. Now, some of our younger listeners, they may think of that as ancient history, but my grandfather fought in World War II. There are still many World War II veterans, not as many as they are quickly passing away, that generation of people, but they're still around. This is actually recent history that we're talking about. And when you think about World War II, it is almost hard to believe. Now, most people realize that you hear the figure all the time, 6 million Jews were killed by Hitler during World War II, men, women, and children. That's amazing in and of itself. That would be over 2/3 of the Jews that were living in Europe at that time were killed by the Nazis, but also there were at least 5 million more people that were put to death. Gypsies, Poles, Slavs, they were all murdered as well. And we don't hear as much about that. Also, during World War II, there were 17 million soldiers that lost their lives. Just a few short years ago in America, it would have been just about uncommon to find a family that was not connected in one way or another with somebody that had died during World War II. And so it's a time period, it's a very interesting history, and it's recent history. It's something that you can go and find somebody and talk to about that time period. Now, today's hero is a little different than anybody that we've looked at so far. This person we're going to look at today was not a general in the military, not a great military leader, not even a soldier. They never wrote a Declaration of Independence or worked on any legislation dealing with liberty or anything like that. This person was not a pastor. They were not an evangelist in the sense that we would normally think about that, a man going out and preaching like we looked at a couple of weeks ago. We talked about Billy Sunday. This person was not a politician, not a doctor. We've had a doctor that we've looked at in this study. And in fact, if it were not for World War II and the Nazis invading Holland, this person would have probably never been heard of by the world at large. They would have never have been known outside of their little village that they were raised in. This person is not even a hero, as we've been using the word, but this person would be referred to as a heroine. This person is a lady. This is the first lady that we've looked at in our series, Heroes of Liberty. And who I'm talking about is a lady named Corrie Ten Boom. Corrie Ten Boom, maybe some of you have heard of her before. There is a book that tells the story of her life. The name of the book is called The Hiding Place. And I highly recommend that every person, this is a great book, one of my favorites, no doubt. In fact, a few years ago in Vacation Bible School, I took 5 nights and taught. I ordered the book. I think I had 45 books. And we ran out of books. Our adult class was that large, and we had 45 books. The Hiding Place, it is probably a 200-page book. It's almost a 300-page book. But anyway, we took a whole week and took that book and taught lessons out of the life of Corrie Ten Boom. Now, the name The Hiding Place, it has a dual meaning. Number one, it refers to the secret room in the Ten Boom house. And what they did, the Ten Boom family, during World War II, they converted a upstairs living space. They made a secret room, and they would hide Jewish people in that room. Jewish people lived in that house, and they had drills. They trained that within just a few seconds, if there was a strange knock or something happened downstairs, that all these people living in the house could get up to the very top of the house and sneak into this secret room. And they did that for quite some time, and they were successful many times. The Nazis would come and search the house, and it was rumored that there were Jewish people staying there and hiding there. And so that is, in a great part, what the book is about. And so The Hiding Place refers to that room in that house. And even today, the house has been preserved, and you can go and visit that house in Holland. But anyway, that's the first meaning of the title to the book. And then the second meaning, it refers to the Lord as their hiding place, because this is a story. Corrie ten Boom was a Christian. Her family were Christians, and how that they trusted in the Lord, and He kept them safe during these great times of danger. Psalms 143, verse number 9, just one verse that we'll read today, refers to the Lord as being our hiding place. But that verse says, "Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me." And so the book has a dual meaning when we're talking about the hiding place. When I taught out of the book, we took five lessons, and I will not have time today to go over. I'll just give them to you if you're interested in the book. I mean, here it is, wintertime, and maybe you're not outside as much as you are in the summertime. If you've got a little bit of time to do some reading, I would highly recommend getting the book. But I broke it down and taught about the providence of God, how that God had placed this family in this place at this time, and for a specific purpose. And so we taught a lesson on the providence of God. And then we talked about the protection of God, and how that the Lord just by His hand kept these Jewish families safe, and different people would come, and they would hide them until they could sneak them away out into the country. And so we talked about the protection of God, and how that God is able to protect us during dangerous times. And one of the stories that comes to mind from that book is that Miss Corrie ten Boom was visiting her sister in the country, and they were hiding Jews as well. And they were coming out into the country, and they were rounding up the men and the sons. And I mean, it was just a very dangerous time. And Miss Corrie ten Boom's sister would not tell a lie, even during times of war. And they had a secret hiding place under their kitchen table. And so the Nazis came, and there was a knock at the door, and they threw the rug back, and the men jumped down through that hole, and they put the rug back in its place and set the kitchen table back where it was over the trap door. And the soldiers came in, and I mean, they're screaming, and they're real violent acting towards these ladies at home. And they said, "Where's the men? Where's the men?" And Corrie ten Boom's sister, she would not tell a lie. And so they asked her, they said, "Where's the men?" And she said, "Under the table, under the kitchen table." And Corrie ten Boom said in the book, she said, "I thought my sister had lost her mind here. You know, what's she doing?" And the soldiers looked under the table and thought she was mocking them. And so anyway, the soldiers went away, and Corrie ten Boom asked her sister, you know, what are you crazy? That's not exactly how it is in the book. But she said, "The Lord protected me when I told the truth." And so she had told the truth. The men were under the table. So there's a great lesson there about just how God's able to protect his people. And then that we taught a lesson on the people of God, the Jewish people, and what a hard time they had during World War II. And then we talked about the presence of God when Corrie ten Boom ended up in prison for her part in harboring the Jewish people. And then we talked last of all about the promises of God. So I highly recommend the book. There's a great many lessons in there. But one of the most amazing things about Corrie ten Boom that I think about, and her whole family, is how they risked everything that they had to help the Jewish people. Now, they were not obligated to help, and many people did not help, but Corrie ten Boom's family helped the Jewish people. They risked their liberty in order to give liberty to somebody else. They didn't have to do what they did, but they wanted to do the things that they did. And the reason they wanted to be a blessing and help the Jewish people was because of their Christian faith and their belief in the Bible and the promise of God, that God would bless them that bless the Jew and curse them that curse them. Genesis chapter number 13 and chapter number 15. Mr. Ten Boom Corey's father. Now, he was an old man when all this was taking place, and he made his feelings known from the beginning about the Jewish people coming and going in his house. He said, in this household, God's people are always welcome. And it ended up they arrested Mr. Ten Boom. Now, he's an old man, and even the Nazi soldier, he said, old man, I want to let you go home. He said, I'll let you go home if you promise not to be involved in these activities anymore. And he said, if you let me go, I will open my house to the first person that knocks that is in need of help. And so it ended up he stayed in prison, and I'll let you get the book and read it. But it's amazing what Mr. Ten Boom went through. Now, Corey's father, Corey Ten Boom, her father was a watchmaker. And one of the things that makes their life so interesting is that him being a watchmaker and many of the businesses at that time in Europe. And I lived in England for about 3 years, and it was even in the 1980s and early 90s, you'd find much of the same thing. In a big city, there would be a family business. Now, on the first floor would be the business. And then above that would be the family living quarters. And that's the way it was in the house that Corey Ten Boom grew up in, the family business. He was a watchmaker and repairer. And of course, at that time, there was a great demand for that. And so down below in the first floor, they had a little business. There was a lot of coming and going. And this is how they were able to cover up their activities that they were involved in. They called it the underground work of hiding the Jewish people, because it was not uncommon for a lot of people to be coming and going in this house. But there's so many lessons in the life of Corey Ten Boom, it's hard to know which one to bring out or talk about the most today. But one thing I notice as I've read the book is that it's not just recent history. It's not ancient history. But I notice this as I read the book about Corey Ten Boom's life. History tends to repeat itself. And you find in that book, you find that the world economies were in great turmoil. And this is one thing that helped bring about, or Hitler used to bring about, World War II. And that was some of the nations were just suffering so much, economically speaking, while others were growing and they were doing quite well. We see that same pattern happening today. There were the rise of dictators at that time. You had Mussolini in Italy. You had Hitler in Germany. You had the emperor in Japan. Even today, people are concerned. Look at Russia and Vladimir Putin and his rise to power, and how that even with the Ukraine and what's going over there and what is going on in the country of Georgia, Russia expanding itself. So we see that history tends to repeat itself. And then there was the rise of anti-Semitism, which means against the Jewish people. There was an article as I was studying for this radio broadcast. I brought it up and read it this morning. And it's talking about Jews in Europe. Now, this is right now today, how that the Jewish people in Europe have not, how was it phrased? They haven't seen this type of fear since the beginning of World War II. And I know most people are familiar with what went on last week in France and with the terrorist attacks. And there was a terrorist attack on a kosher market, which would be a place where Jewish people predominantly do business. And there was a Jewish man that was interviewed, and he said, next week we're moving to Israel. He said, we're not just going to stay here and die. And so Jewish people in different places in the world are living in fear, just like they were before the beginning of World War II. So there's a lot of places that we can look and learn from history and see these same things happening in our world today. But one thing that I want to close in talking about today, talking about the life of Corrie ten Boom, and that is the prospect of one person risking their liberty for the liberty and the safety of another person. Now, that's a very selfless act. Corrie ten Boom, her father, her sister, which she was very close to, they were eventually discovered. They were arrested for harboring, keeping safe Jewish people during the German occupation of Holland. And so they were arrested. They were imprisoned in a seaside prison, and I doubt I can pronounce the name right, but I believe it would be pronounced Scheveningen. And so they ended up, the first place that Corrie ten Boom was in prison was there. She was there in horrible conditions. She was there for 3 months before she was ever asked any questions, before she was ever interviewed or interrogated. She was separated from her sister. She was separated from her father. They were all there in the same place, and yet they could not communicate one with another. And so it's just a terrible situation to begin with. Now, Miss Corrie ten Boom, she became very sick while she was there in prison. And, of course, those types of conditions in close quarters, they would keep four prisoners in one small cell. And so they took her out. They separated her. She thought she was going to die. She was delirious with sickness. They put her in solitary confinement. And they had very few possessions with them there in the prison. But Corrie ten Boom, one of her most prized possession, she had a little Bible. And she told in the book how that she would be sustained by a verse at a time. You know, she just read the Bible, and just she was so sick. All she could comprehend was just maybe one verse, and she would just cling to that. And then she told about how that as she got better, she would devour whole chapters and whole gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John at one time. And one of the great parts about her life is how close she became to the Lord there in solitary confinement, and how that the Lord's presence was so real unto her, and how that the Lord was able to sustain her and even bless her. It'll touch your heart to think about that while she was there in solitary confinement, that each day she looked forward in the one window in her prison cell. The sun, the angle of the sun was just enough. If she would get up on her cot and stand, the sun could touch part of her head for part of the day, and how she looked forward to that sunshine and just a little thing like that. And then she told in the book how that one day she was there in the prison cell, and a little ant, one ant, came into her prison cell, and how she got down on all fours and just looked at that ant and just praise God for its creation and just the way it moved and just everything about it. And she looked forward every day to when she would get maybe a piece of bread. She'd drop a crumb, and the ant would come, and then it wasn't long there were more. And so that was the highlight of her day, and how she thanked the Lord that even while she was there, she could count her blessings. And just an interesting thing, a great, amazing testimony of the grace of God in a person's life. Well, she tells about how she got to go to the shower. She couldn't talk with any of the other ladies, but it was just done so much for her just to be in the same room with some of the other prisoners, although that they could not talk or speak to each other. It was a comfort just to be able to be in the same room. They got to take a shower once a month. If they got to go once a month, that was about average while she was there. A little bit later it changed and she got to go a little more often, but this is at the very beginning. And she decided that first time she got to go to the shower, she decided that the next time she was allowed to go, she would divide her little Bible up and take three of the Gospels with her. You know, there's four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. She decided to divide her Bible, take three of the Gospels, and try to share it with the other women prisoners, try to smuggle them a portion of the Scriptures. And this whole radio broadcast, here's what I've wanted to get to. Here's what she said about wanting to share her Bible with the other ladies there in the prison. She said, "Solitary was teaching me that it was not possible to be rich alone. It was not possible to be rich alone. And that is exactly why anyone would risk their liberty for the sake of another person." She realized it was not possible to be rich alone. She went on while she was there in prison. She witnessed to the other women as she had opportunity. She even witnessed to the prison guard that interrogated her. And the prison guard, he was the man in authority over that prison. He was a Nazi officer. And she was bold enough to share the gospel with him. And what is interesting is that as she talked to him and shared the gospel with him, and he asked her more and more questions, what you find out is the prison guard was in captivity, although he was free. She said something to him one day about Jesus Christ being the light that has come into the world and that you didn't have to live in darkness. And he said to her, he said, "You do not know how great my darkness is," and shared with her about how he didn't like doing what he was doing and didn't want to be there and wanted to go home. But he was free, yet imprisoned. She was imprisoned, yet she was free. And so spiritually speaking today, you can be in captivity but be free. But if you're free and not free spiritually, you're in captivity. This is what the Bible is talking about when Jesus said in John chapter number 8, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." We come on every week with this passage of Scripture in Leviticus chapter 25, verse 10, where it says, "Proclaim liberty unto all the inhabitants thereof." What good is liberty if you have liberty all by yourself? Liberty is so wonderful, spiritually, first of all, physically, nationally. It is something to be treasured. It is a basic human right that God made us to be free. And freedom is no good if it cannot be enjoyed by everyone. This is why it's so important. This is why it is so precious unto us. Our Declaration of Independence talks about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for all. It's for everybody. It is a glorious, wonderful thing. It ought to be guarded as one of our greatest national treasures, that we have a glorious thing called liberty, true, real liberty. I'm thankful for it today. If I'm free but others are not, then how could I enjoy that all by myself? It ought to be shared. And so that's what the great lesson I take away from Corrie ten Boom and The Hiding Place. But liberty is wonderful. Spiritually, we find that in the Lord Jesus Christ. Physically, it is wonderful to be free. Nationally, it is wonderful to be free and have our liberty. So we thank the Lord for that. And so we could recommend to you reading the book, learning more about Miss Corrie ten Boom. What a great lesson we find in her life. And later on about forgiveness, and how that at a church meeting after the war, she met a Nazi guard in church. And she talks about how that it was the Lord that had to help her to forgive this man for what he had done. So great lessons we can learn there. We do appreciate you listening today. We hope you know about the liberty and the forgiveness we're talking about. Noah's going to come and give the contact information.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church that's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.